Welcome back to the home of explanations, the absolute epicenter of explanations. You want me to explain Washington to you? I can. They're all a bunch of boneheads. Finally, we got somebody decent in the White House, and the rest of them are boneheads. You think I'm referring to the Democrats? Oh, gosh, no. No, round them all up. I'll point the finger at every, 535 of them, I think there are, all together. Yeah, they're all boneheads. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. If you're just joining us, you missed a very, very interesting first hour, but you have the opportunity to access it nonetheless. Monday around noon, that'll be posted on the morethanmoneyonline.com website. You can listen to the podcast of the first hour, the second hour, the entire show. Lots of folks are picking up our show. They don't have a chance on Saturdays. They just they have other obligations, other commitments, and they're picking it up later in the week. We encourage that. I will be shortly after the end of the show. I will be at the Covenant Christian Academy for breakfast. Our good friend Daryl Okun, More Than Money financial advisor extraordinaire and CPA extraordinaire, has been a loyal supporter of the Covenant Christian Academy for many, many years. He's been on the board. I think his kids may have gone there, but most importantly, committed in the game, trying to help folks get their kids good, solid Christian education. I'll be over there eating way too much food. I'll be giving way too much money. That's not possible. And if you have to stop over, please say hi. We'll be glad to help. Welcoming you again to our microphone, Mr. Mike Pompei. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So that folks have some idea of who you are representing this morning?
Ash Brokerage. Ash is a national independent insurance brokerage firm, meaning we represent over 80 insurance companies, and the big name insurance companies. It's not XYZ, it's Prudential, it's John Hancock, it's Nationwide and Lincoln
yeah.
You name them, we represent them, and which gives us the independence to work with clients based on their needs and not based on our needs.
So from the standpoint of the listener right this moment, if they've had the traditional insurance experience of meeting with, I'm picking a name out of a hat, New York Life Agent, in general, the New York Life Agent is going to discuss, no shock, New York Life products. With an Ash brokerage relationship, we can discuss New York Life products, oh, and Prudential products, oh, and Lincoln products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Okay. At least in theory, that gives the client quite an advantage.
It sure does. It gives the client the opportunity to select what's best for them from a variety of top-rated carriers. Mm-hmm. And so it's always got to be client-centric. And that's how I know your practice is set up, and that's the way we operate. It has to be about the client's needs. And when you bring one widget to the table, that doesn't always fit the client's needs, but when you bring 60 or 70 widgets, they generally can find one that fits their needs.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Sir?
Yeah, the lady called in with a question. She didn't want to go on air.
Okay, we understand.
And it's very long, so I figured, let me ask it for her.
Please.
She has a $10,000 whole life policy.
Okay.
The cash value on it is between $11,000 to $12,000, okay? Now, if she should pass, would her heirs get the $10,000 or would they get that $11,000 to $12,000 value?
Very interesting. Obviously, she's had it a long time. Cash value has built up over many years to exceed what the cover on the policy says they're going to get $10,000. Do they get the 10 or do they get the cash value of 11 or 12?
Well, this is a little perplexing because generally when policies are designed, the cash value as it grows, it allows the death benefit to increase. So it keeps what is called a corridor between the cash value and the death benefit.
So theoretically, if she's got 11 or 12,
she probably has more death benefit than the original 10. It probably started at 10, but now that's probably up around 15 or 16. That's the way normal life insurance policies are. It just to generally answer your question, it's the death benefit that pays out upon death. So whatever that number is, that's what passes tax-free. It's not the cash value.
But if I'm hearing Mike correctly, what she's looking at when she bought this policy, it said 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suspecting that as she looks at her statements, it's going to tell her her cash value has been growing. I suspect on that statement somewhere, it might be hidden. Some of these statements are very hard to read. That the death benefit, instead of being 10, is now 14, 15, 16. That's what her beneficiaries will receive.
Okay, because then the other question, part to it was, if they were only entitled to the original cash value,
mm-hmm.
And should she get sick, should she cash that in so that her heirs would get the cash value?
Oh, interesting. If I'm understanding correctly, should she drain that cash out? That eliminates the policy. If you're pulling all that cash out, it eliminates the policy. So the answer is not likely. No, it's not likely a good idea.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you, sir. It's
easier than writing it out.
Well done. Well done. Well done indeed. Do we have another one on hold? Goodness, we're just cranking right along. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. I promise my emailers, I'll get to your emails, I promise. Let's go to the phones. We talked to Dan. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Gene.
How are you, sir?
Question for you. I'm 67, my wife's 63. Our only income is Social Security. Our only assets are our paid-for house.
Okay.
No life insurance, no savings, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Live month to month. What happens if I pass? Do my debts or whatever get passed on to my kids or things like that?
Oh, you know what, Dan, that's a very, very fair question. And I'm going to describe to you what I have experienced because we've helped settle a lot of estates over many, many years. In general, no, your kids are not responsible for your debts. And I say in general, I'm going to circle back to something that you'll need to understand about the state of Pennsylvania. But in general, no. If you've got a home, if you've got assets, or if you have no assets, at your passing, your debts will be listed, they will be charged against your estate. To the extent that the assets in the estate are enough to pay them, they're going to get paid after your passing. To the extent that they are not, orphan's court or a court will adjudicate how whatever is left in your estate is going to be paid out to the folks that you might owe money to. But no, it won't be it won't flow down to your kids to pay. The one exception that sadly has kind of come a cropper this last couple of years in the state of Pennsylvania is that they have held children responsible for paying for the nursing home costs of their parents.
Okay, one second. The children are all grown. They're in their 30s or 40s.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back
to the nursing home. What do you say?
Yeah, if your kids are grown, perfect example, 30s, 40s, they got kids of their own maybe. Maybe they're getting ready for college. Maybe they're getting ready for other issues. Maybe they're getting ready for their own retirement. They can be held financially responsible for your nursing home costs. And if those costs are not paid during your lifetime, either out of your savings or from the equity in your home, it is an absolute possibility that the state of Pennsylvania, through the Medicaid program, will file a claim against your kids.
Okay, now two of the children live out of state. Does that matter?
Sadly, no.
Okay. So the nursing home situation would be my biggest hurdle.
Yes.
And if I elect not to do a nursing home, am I good then?
I think you are good then.
Okay.
Now you mentioned that your house is paid for. If you
yes.
go, if you need nursing home care, they will. The state of Pennsylvania absolutely will provide that for you through the Medicaid program, but they will keep track of everything that you have, all the payments they have made on your behalf. And at your passing, they're going to put a lien against your house. It doesn't mean anything bad for your wife. It just means that at her passing, when the house is sold, the state of Pennsylvania is going to want to be paid up.
Okay. Well, there's a little bit of a sticking point, too, which I couldn't mention because it was just too much. We're presently a year behind in our property taxes, but we're catching up.
Okay.
So I understand you can't sell a house if you're behind in your property taxes anyway.
No, that's true. So you're kind of, your situation is what it is. Of course, if you and your wife should pass away, the state of Pennsylvania is going to have that real estate tax as a lien. They're going to get paid at some point. They're very patient. They're going to get their money. It just may take some time.
I understand. Well, you've been quite helpful. You answered a lot of questions.
Dan, I'm glad we could help just a little bit. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Gene.
Take Bye-bye. Care. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. We've got Mike Pompei, Ash Brokerage. Mike, Ash Brokerage, I have the advantage over our listeners, our More Than Money family, in that I've been in Fort Wayne. I've been in the home office. Tim Ash, I consider a friend. Tim is second generation. Mm-hmm. Jim, his dad, 40, 50 years ago now?
1971 started the business.
39, 49, 56 years ago.
Something like that.
Started the business. And my good friend Dan Nagito introduced mm-hmm. us quite a few years ago. I understand their culture. I appreciate their culture because it is in... And when I say the word culture, a lot of folks go, I'm not really clear what that means. In a company, a culture is the underlying attitude that the employees bring to serving their clients. In some ways, our More Than Money advisors are your clients. Mm-hmm. In many, many cases, our clients become your clients.
Yeah.
How do you kind of sum up your personal approach to dealing with whether it's a financial advisor or an individual client?
Absolutely. Well, it's the same approach whether I'm going to a financial advisor or dealing with their clients. You have to be open, you have to listen, and you have to be respectful for whoever you're dealing with. And you have to understand their philosophy and their culture. As you mentioned, at Ash Brokerage, we have a very Midwestern homey culture. It's about the people. It's about the people. And Jim and Tim will say this over and over again. It's about the people that make our business special. Mm-hmm. And so I try and emulate that when I come out and meet with you. I meet with Daryl or Mark. I meet with your clients mm-hmm. to make sure they feel that when I'm focusing on them, that's the priority. It's not my balance sheet. It's not my investors. It's them. And so that is very special. Ash allows us to work that way. And quite honestly, expects us to work that way. And that comes through with every account and transaction we do.
There's absolutely no question that has come through in our work together. And that brings us to that integration, that the way we approach things, the way you approach things is so... clearly in alignment,
yep.
that our clients can be comfortable and confident that they're number one. The fact that Ash represents 80 plus insurance companies is a huge advantage in my opinion, to our clients, because in essence we can shop the entire market. Please correct me if I'm wrong. In essence, we can take one application and be applying to as many companies as we wish.
In a theory, yes, you're yeah. correct. We have to, when we get down to it, we have to take the specific application for them. But when we're doing the research ahead of time, and you know how we work, you know, we meet with the client, we find out about the client, we ask questions, we get their needs, and then we do a needs analysis. And at that point, you're right, we basically have one common application that we look around at 70 or 80 different companies to see what may be best. And sometimes we bring back multiple options to the client and allow them to choose.
And in some cases, clients are coming to us needing insurance. And in some cases, clients are coming to us not unlike Renee or not unlike, was it Frank? Sorry, I know we have to, oh no, the young lady that John helped us with. They come to us, here's the insurance we have, I'm not 100% sure either I understand how it works, or I'm not 100% clear it still does what I need it to do. Those are valid questions.
Absolutely. We work, you know, I meet with several of your clients just on a consultant basis to examine what they have, to let them know, yeah, this still works, or maybe based on what you're telling me, this doesn't work and you should look for other options. And you know, people should review their life insurance policies, their long-term care insurance policies, on a regular basis. These things aren't static. They change with you.
No question about it. I haven't actually spoken to the client yet. So if the clients are listening, give me a call. I'm certain that Connie already has them on the schedule, but we looked at three annuities and two life insurance contracts. And the end result was, on the three annuities, you should basically hang in. They may not be pleasing, but leaving them would be worse than keeping them. The one life insurance, you ought to hang on to that too.
Yep.
And the second life insurance, there's some hot possibilities for improvements there.
Absolutely.
So it's, in some cases, the concern on the part of someone who hasn't kind of experience the more the money experience, which is where we put people first. Their fear is, well, whatever I show them, they're going to have something better. Well, in this case, we had five bites at the apple, and four of them, in our opinion, should remain exactly as they are.
Exactly.
Interesting. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. You've got Mike Pompei in the studio with Gene. Mike, insurance expert extraordinaire with Ashbury. How long have you been with Ash?
This is my 13th year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You got to be happy.
Absolutely am.
Well, and you get to hang with us.
That's all the time.
All right, so he's got to put up with that. 610-720-7900. Eric asks, is there ever a reason to use an annuity? That's in a lot of people's mind, that is a very, very, very fair question.
Yes.
The word annuity has gotten, in a lot of areas, such a negative connotation. Ken Fisher, who's one of the largest investment advisors in the country, has done, for the last couple of years, radio spots, TV spots, on and on. Lots of mailers. I get mailers all the time from him. And his mailers have got to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They're big, full color. I'm thinking he's spending big bucks. I'm thinking he ought to stop sending them to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking the odds that hey, Ken, would you be my financial advisor? Those are pretty low. He goes on and flatly says, we will never sell it. He actually, the one I saw last night was, I will burn in hell before I sell an annuity. Well, now that's an interesting position to take. I suspect his doctor might want to check the medication. I'm just thinking. Anyway, it is the moral equivalent. And I absolutely get where he's coming from, that in his world as a registered investment advisor, last I heard, he had $40 billion of assets. That's why he can afford to spend me a $30 packet of advertising that I will never respond to. It may not fit his marketing strategy. I get that. Or maybe he's looking at his marketing strategy as that's just feeding into the fears of the average American who's already kind of been led down the garden path of annuities. Ooh, if they say annuity, run. And I can share some of those frustrations. We have a lot of radio shows on this very station where the hosts, all they're doing is pushing annuities because they're making ridiculous sums of money from some companies that are okay, some companies that are borderline. And 6-8% commissions, and somebody walks in with $300,000 and they get a $20,000 commission for 3 hours of work.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with that. So I get that. I get those. Mm-hmm. But the analogy I have given many, many times is that it's a tool. And if you understand all of the tools, then you will understand which projects, tools are appropriate for and which ones they're not. All tools are dangerous. Folks say, Well, a chainsaw is way more dangerous than a butter knife. Yeah, maybe. At least in theory.
Yes.
But there's been a lot more people, sadly, murdered with butter knives than there have chainsaws.
Correct.
Although most of the movies, it's chainsaws.
That makes for better.
Show. Oh, man.
But to your point, products or product categories aren't the enemy. It's how they are misused and gives them a bad name. You could make that case
exactly.
With annuities, life insurance, long-term care insurance, disability insurance,
mutual
anything.
Funds,
yes.
Stocks, bonds. There is bank accounts.
Yeah.
People say, well, you know, at least you can go to bank accounts and be safe. Really, how safe is it when your money is making nothing, inflation's going up at 2 or 3% a year, mm-hmm. you're not keeping up, so after 10 years, your $100,000 literally is worth 70. Because you kept it safe.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. It is not the tool. It is not the chainsaw that hurt that individual. It was the misuse of that chainsaw. Is it possible to use a tool absolutely appropriately, and still be disappointed?
Sure.
Of course it is. My wife will tell you about my chainsaw incident. I used to have a tractor. Anyway. So let's go back to Eric just for a moment. Eric, is there ever a good reason for an annuity product? I'm going to give you a couple. How much time do we have, sir?
3.5.
Excellent. If you said to me, I want to have a guaranteed income for the rest of my life and I never want to worry whether the check is going to be deposited in my bank account, that says to me annuity. If you said to me, I want to have a lot of flexibility. I want to be able to invest the way I want to invest, but I still want a guaranteed income. That says to me annuity. If you said to me, I've got a block of money that I'd like to have grow, I'm not terribly interested in the rate of return, but I am interested in not seeing it decline. That says to me annuity. Now, those are three very different kinds of annuities. Annuities come in flavors. We've got fixed lifetime annuities, we have variable annuities with lifetime benefits, we have fixed indexed annuities, and those are just three. Lots of different variations on a theme. So Eric, is it ever a good idea to have an annuity? The answer is absolutely yes. But it's got to fit you and your circumstance exactly. And to be fair, we've got lots and lots and lots of options. Lots of flavors that we can draw upon and check them out to see if they fit you. Sir? Excellent. 610-720-7900. Young lady too shy to talk on the radio asks, what is a convertible term life insurance?
Oh, I can hit that real quick.
Great.
So a convertible term policy allows the insured to take their term policy within a certain time period, and there may be some age requirements there, to convert that without underwriting to a permanent policy for the same company. So say you have a Principal Financial term policy, Principal will allow you to convert at your same underwriting class. So you could be 20 years older and a train wreck in health, but if you got a preferred term policy, 20 years preferred, you can convert that to a permanent, a universal life policy, a whole life policy, whatever the company has, without going through additional underwriting.
Bottom line is I'm going to pay higher premium.
Correct.
Of course.
Because you're older.
But I'm going from, at some point, my term policy is going to disappear to I've got insurance for the whole of my life.
Correct.
And I may be getting a tremendous bargain because if my health isn't as good as it was many years ago,
mm-hmm.
life is good. So convertible, it can be converted from pure term insurance, which has no cash value, and it will eventually expire, to whole life insurance with cash value. Sir, 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. One more half an hour with Mike Pompei of Ash Brokerage and your personal financial advisor, Gene Dickinson, after this on More Than Money. I'm giving. Welcome back to the home of explanations. You're at the very center of explanations. You are absolutely where you need to be to get explanations galore. If your question has a dollar sign connected to it, if it's an insurance question, a retirement question, an investment question, an income tax question, you are exactly where you need to be. You can call us at 610-720-7900. You can send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Or you can log on from wherever you've got internet at morethanmoneyonline.com from your smartphone, right on up to the big screen monitor if you want to scare the crap out of people. I don't know why you would do that, but you can do all that stuff. If you've got internet, morethanmoneyonline.com, listen live and participate as well, coast to coast. Joining me in the studio, Mr. Mike Pompei, our partner in on the insurance side of life from Ash Brokerage. Mike's been doing this a long time. He's been with us a long time, and it is a partnership that we're really, really proud of. And if you've been with us since about 8:45, Mike was supposed to come on at 9, but we dragged him, and we needed him. So since 8:45, we've hit the ground running. So we've answered an awful lot of questions, and we've got an awful lot more. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Jim. Jim, good morning, sir. Jim? Hello? Jim? Maybe he forgot.
Hi,
what?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good.
How may we serve you?
I'd like you to explain apportioned and unapportioned taxes to people and why they're paying them.
Apportioned and unapportioned taxes. Are we talking about real estate taxes or some other type of tax?
Well, I saw a program with Aaron Russo where he interviews Commissioner Cohen, and he asked Cohen about apportioned and unapportioned taxes.
And the reason he asked that question, it's a great question, and here's how I know it's a great question. I have no idea. So, Jim, I'm just going to have to do a little research and see what I can find out from our tax experts, and we'll circle back to this next week. That's about the best I can do. My apologies. Thank you for the call. 610-720-7900. Let's go to an email. This one I think is very, very interesting. Gentleman writes, he's going to be 66 in June. Plans to work another 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So he's not done, not even close to being done. He has a small business. He pays his bills, supports the family. He's going to start taking his Social Security in June. So he doesn't want to use the money to live on because he's still working. But nice to have a little extra cash on hand. There's no question about that part. So that's useful, of course. He currently has no retirement plan.
You're welcome.
He has 2 cash flow positive rental properties. So obviously that helps with the cash flow a little bit. Would it be advisable to use some of this Social Security and invest it in an IRA at this point in his life? Isn't that an interesting question?
That is.
In my opinion, you might very well want to do this. And here's kind of how I've got this kind of scoped out. Of course, it depends on your specific set of circumstances. But let's assume for a second that you're creating taxable income. Well, Social Security is depending on your taxable income, is subject to tax up to 85% of it. Well, that's kind of disappointing. Well, what if you took some of that money and put it into either an IRA? If you are married, sir, you could do it for you and your spouse. So you could shelter up to $13,000 of that and get a tax deduction for doing it. So in essence, you're pulling your Social Security and paying some tax and then getting a tax deduction for pushing some of it to the IRA. Is this an okay idea? Is this a good idea? The answer is possibly. Here's why possibly. At age 70, you're no longer allowed, at age 70, over age 70, you're no longer allowed to do it. Yeah. So you have a window here of approximately 4 years. Unless your tax bracket is relatively modest, 10, 12, 15%, and the tax deduction's not that big a deal, then you might consider using a Roth IRA. Roth IRA has two really nice advantages. Number one, you can have it forever. If you're still working at 70, 71, 72, you can contribute. So there's no restriction that you have to stop. Number two, everything it earns is tax-free. That's true, and everybody kind of knows that. You can pull money out later tax-free. But in your case, since you've got relatively modest liquid assets, a Roth IRA, the money that you put in, you can withdraw under certain circumstances. It's your money. You didn't get a tax deduction for doing it. So in a way, a Roth IRA is both a retirement plan and a savings account. I think that serves some pretty nice. I think potentially that serves two pretty nice objectives that you may have. It is very important, my opinion, very important that you sit with a financial advisor and go through your details specifically. If you have not yet applied for Social Security, maybe even if you have, I wish Mark were here, he would tell me. I would absolutely insist that you sit with Mark Basak on our team. He's our Social Security expert, and make sure that he's giving you the guidance so that you know that your Social Security strategy meets your needs. Whew.
Yeah.
And Jim, we've got your contact information. We will reach out to you on Monday and offer all that to you.
That's a great question.
Very interesting question. Yeah. Fortunately for him, because he owns the business, he's got some control there. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's either pretty happy or pretty comfortable or both, saying, hey, I'm 66, but why quit?
Yeah.
And I'm all about that. Retirement's highly overrated. Highly overrated, my opinion. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Mr. Mike Pompei, insurance expert. If you have questions about long-term care insurance, I have questions about long-term care insurance. We'll talk about that here momentarily. One of our most loyal and valued listeners writes, you talked about an RMD that does not need to be paid beyond age 70 as long as you're still working and putting money in a 401k. John remembers that. Kind of surprising, but John remembers that. It was almost 40 minutes ago, I would have thought. Go on. If you had rolled previous 401k balances into one IRA, it's an IRA rollover. So let's paint the scenario just to give a demonstration to everybody out there. You're currently working. You're currently putting a 401k into your current employer's 401k, putting contributions into the 401k. But you previously worked for two or three other companies. They had 401ks, and as you left them, you took that 401k money and put it into an IRA. So let's just say, for the sake of fun, your current 401k, you've been there for a few years and you have $80,000 in it. But the others you've rolled together, maybe it's $500,000. So you've got an IRA with $500,000, you've got a 401k with $80,000. So we have an IRA not with your current employer. Are you still exempt from paying the RMD on the IRA if you're still working and if you're still part of your 401k? Interesting question. And he goes on to say, and if so, would the strategy be to move all of your IRA funds to your current 401k if it's allowed, yada, yada, yada. The first question, the answer is sadly, if you have $80,000 in the 401k, you're still working at age 70, you're still contributing, you do not have to take an RMD, but you would have to take an RMD from your IRA, the $500,000, which would be $18,000 roughly. But this gentleman has already stumbled into a very interesting, and I don't mean stumbled as in, I mean, I don't think he's under the influence. Ooh. I think, come on, it's a good guy. He has... found his way to a very interesting exception, which is there are a fair number of 401k plans that permit rollovers from IRAs into the 401k plan. If his current plan permits that, his $80,000 401k balance could very well be $580,000. His IRA balance goes to zero. His RMD on his 401k is zero, and he has nothing in an IRA, so his RMD there is zero. It just sounds so dramatic when I do that. So, yeah, that is absolutely a strategy that you're going to want to keep a careful eye on. This is becoming more and more an issue, more and more an opportunity, more and more a strategy for folks to consider, because more and more people are working past 70.
Absolutely are.
No question about it. Some because they have to.
Sure.
Some because they just like it. Yep. Some they enjoy it. Some maybe they finally got into a company that they're really enjoying. Maybe what they did is retire and they went back to work at something that's got way less stress, way more fun, and happen to have a 401k.
Sure.
That would describe almost exactly more than money. Yeah. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Charlotte. Charlotte, good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
Wonderful. How may we serve you?
Okay. My husband and I are both retired.
Okay.
He retired about 2 years ago.
Great.
We have savings bonds.
Sure.
And they go back to probably the 70s.
Ouch. Ouch.
What do we do with them? We didn't want to do anything because of the income at the time.
Okay, now, a very important point for everyone to hear. If you have a savings bond that goes back to the 70s, it is no longer earning interest.
Correct.
You will, if you added up the entire block of savings bonds that you currently own, what would the face value be roughly?
I do not know.
Okay.
I have a list I haven't really...
Yeah, not a problem. Here's why I would have asked that question, or why you will need to ask that question.
Okay.
If you cash in all of the bonds, of course the interest is taxable.
Okay.
So you'll need to have either yourself, your husband, your tax advisor, if you have a professional tax advisor, mm-hmm. look at what impact will that have on your tax return. So let's just pick a number and say that your current taxable income is $38,000 and these savings bonds are $10,000. That will put you at $48,000 taxable, and you'll need to calculate what that income tax might be immediately. If the number is much higher, maybe you're in a higher bracket and that causes some pain, and maybe you need to nibble away at this by taking some of these bonds and cashing them in maybe over a course of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and kind of evening this out.
Okay.
But the fact that you're earning nothing,
right?
That's dreadful.
Okay.
So the fact that you're saving a little bit of money on tax while earning nothing is kind of a double whammy, not helping you in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, because we thought we'd start doing it next year.
Okay.
Start, like you said, piecemeal.
Ah.
Because we knew... You know, we were in a high bracket at the time, so we didn't want to do that.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Make sure that, though, that you sit with someone, a financial advisor you trust, a tax professional, an enrolled agent, a CPA. Take that 15, 20 minutes, just kind of lay that out. Let them see your tax return and how much you're cashing in, just to confirm that you're on the right track.
Okay, great.
Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you.
You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
610-720-7900. I got stuff for you. Callers come first. Callers.
Absolutely do.
610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Tom. Tom, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene.
How may
question
we serve
on,
you?
Question on RMD.
Sure.
Last year, for tax year 2016, I had to take my first RMD.
Congratulations.
And yeah. Still on the right side of the grass.
Exactly.
On the 1099-R that I received, it shows the withdrawal and it shows the tax, and it says normal distribution. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything on there that says that it was an RMD. How does the IRS know that that was the RMD?
Oh, in essence, they have been watching you, Tom. I think I can join them in saying, I think we've all been watching you, Tom.
Everybody
wants to watch. Tom, the IRS receives a report from every IRA account in America every single year, and they've been getting reports on your IRAs since you began your IRA. So okay. at the end of every single year, the IRA custodian reports to the IRS the account balance. They know exactly what your account balance was at the end of 2015. That's the amount that was used as the basis for calculating your RMD. So they knew before you knew exactly how much you should have taken out, and they will compare that behind the scenes. They'll compare that to what you did take out. As long as it's equal or above the RMD, they're not even going to give you a notice. They're not even going to give you a pat on the back or a thumbs up. But if it ended up being less, oh, yeah, you'd be getting that phone call relatively quickly.
So there's no indication on the 1099-R?
It should not be. Does not need to be, no.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right now, he's taking another sip of coffee from his More Than Money mug. Tom and I have been friends forever, born just a day apart. Both of us share one of the most admirable traits that a man can possibly have. Are you ready?
Sure.
We both married way over our heads.
I can include myself in
there
that.
There you go.
In that
there you go. We got three.
Well.
We got to, we're vying for number one of being unworthy of the quality of our wives. 610-720-7900. Let's go back to the phones. We talked to Joe. Joe, good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning.
How can we serve you?
I had a question for you.
Sure.
This is actually regarding for my dad. He was involved in a class action lawsuit. This was for a drug called Actos to treat diabetes, and I guess some people that took this drug ended up with bladder cancer, of which my dad did. And he received a settlement from this. I was wondering if that settlement is a federally taxable settlement.
Yeah, Joe, in general, lawsuit settlements are not taxable.
Okay.
In general. The paper, has your dad received the settlement at this point? Has he received a 1099, any kind of indicator from the payor that they've reported this to the IRS?
I think he did get a 1099.
Okay. On the 1099, it will indicate what portion, if any, of that settlement is taxable.
Okay.
So that's the first place that you will look. If you continue, if that doesn't seem to solve the question, if it was a class action lawsuit, I'm going to guess that your dad had little or no interaction with the attorneys.
Very little, the information that they needed.
Yeah, that's pretty common. Does he have his taxes done by a professional, or does he do them himself?
Usually, I help him with them.
Okay, God bless you. If you're looking at the 1099, and let's say you're using TurboTax, and you're answering the questions and you're filling in the blank, and it comes up as taxable, that would cause me a concern. I would want to spend at least a little bit of time. It would cost you a couple dollars to sit with a CPA or an enrolled agent, a tax professional, to get clarity. I don't know that you're going to get any satisfaction going back to the law firm.
Mm-hmm.
You might. Most of these class action suits are handled by very large law firms, and they may have some support staff or paralegals that can answer your questions. If, on the other hand, you fill in all the appropriate numbers off of the 1099 and it shows as non-taxable, which is what I would hope, it's what I'm expecting, then I think you're home free. Yeah, if you're doing the return the old-fashioned way, which is I got a pencil, a paper, and a calculator.
I'm actually using H&R Block tax software.
Yeah, I'm thinking you should be okay. But again, if you run into anything that kind of indicates that it's taxable, you should see a tax professional, because with what your dad has suffered, yeah, we don't want to pay the government a dime we don't have to.
I agree.
God bless you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
You take care.
Okay, you too.
610-720-7900. How much time do we have? You know what? I don't think I'm going to do that. I have two, but both of these questions are pretty involved on the insurance side. Long-term care insurance, we barely even mentioned it today.
Sure.
And I don't know the answer to this question, so I always hold my breath when I don't. I usually ask questions only the ones I know the answers to. So in the world of your world of long-term care insurance, 20 years ago, there was only one flavor that was kind of like homeowners insurance. You pay me every year. If nothing bad happens, your money is gone.
Yep.
And if something bad does happen, we're going to hopefully cover you for a very long period of time.
Correct.
In the interim, that has become almost a dinosaur.
Yes.
Does any of that still exist? Do people still get those kind of contracts where they're paying on an annual basis?
They certainly do.
Wow.
And at the appropriate age, and most of those contracts are sold to younger people because the premiums are lower. When I say younger, when we're talking long-term care, generally the younger people are in their early 50s.
Sure.
Those contracts still are very valuable. You do have to worry about premium increases. Mm. However, I will say the insurance companies are getting better at pricing as we go forward because they're starting to learn their lesson. It only took them 30 years to learn the lesson, but they are starting to. So those contracts still have value in the market. There's just a lot less of them out there to offer.
And in your experience, the kind of work that you do helping people with long-term care, is that a fairly common event that folks choose those kinds of programs, or are they using more of the hybrid programs?
It is drastically switching to the hybrid products.
And a hybrid product, just to kind of give them a hint of coming attractions, so to speak, a hybrid product could very well be I make one deposit to the insurance company and I never write another check.
They can be designed that way, correct.
So rather than, oh my gosh, I just signed up for what could be ever-increasing premiums for the rest of my life, it could be, if it's appropriate, if it fits, if it's the right thing for the client, one deposit, one check, and we're done.
Correct.
Interesting stuff. If that kind of makes you go, what? What the heck are they talking about? I wish we had more time, But dude, we were ripping today, so we were having a lot of fun.
Great calls.
If you have questions about long-term care insurance, if you have questions about life insurance, if you have questions about what kind of life insurance you need or whether you need the life insurance you have, these are all the kinds of things that you can, all those kinds of questions you can have answered when you sit with Mike Pompei in the More Than Money World Headquarters in the Holy Lands. Between Bethlehem and Nazareth. Whether you need a second opinion meeting with one of our advisors, a long-term care or a life insurance interview, a Social Security interview, or whether you need your estate planning reviewed, all of those opportunities we offer to you absolutely free. All you need to do is request it. Easily done. You can send the request directly to me. Email gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, and learn a great deal. Check out all our podcast radio shows. John has helped us put up hundreds, well, now thousands of hours of shows for your use. And, of course, it's old-fashioned. It's weird. It's almost bizarre. But you can call us. How about that? Landlines and everything. 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks very much. Hopefully, we'll see you at the Covenant Christian Academy for breakfast. If not, we'll see you next time on More Than Money.